I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. So, when NASA made their announcement a few weeks ago that they detected phosphine in the gases above Venus and that it may be an indication of life, I was thinking about a lot of things in the back of my mind that I wanted to share that I set aside as being too outrageous even to think about. We were going to talk about some of the things I observed, but of course, President Trump got the coronavirus, and so that was the big news story. So we had to delay everything. But I have a number of things that I've piled up that I haven't really gotten to about this whole, you know, Venus revelation. When I was younger, there were many science fiction films from the 1950s and 1960s that sparked my imagination. One of my favorite films was 20 Million Miles to Earth. And it still holds its charm after all these years. But back then it was very confusing. It confused me how a creature that came to Earth from Venus would be able to survive the trip to Earth, but to also live on a hostile planet whose atmosphere is acidic. Well, in a mock science explanation, the life form that was there on Venus was called an Ymir. That's Y-M-I-R, Ymir. The Ymir gets its name from a Norse god that translated, when you translate Ymir, it means screamer or the god that screams. The Ymir was this, if you remember, for those of you that are B-movie fans, I mean, this is all academic, but for those of you who don't know about the film, this Ymir was a small reptilian creature, and it was actually, I guess you could call it an extremophile, that had a network of spongy membranes inside its body to filter out Venus's toxic gas atmosphere. And because of Venus's lack of oxygen and atmospheric pressure, these creatures were much smaller there than they were on Earth. And so they were brought back by astronauts on a rocket. Actually, one astronaut, there were a number of astronauts, but this rocket crashed, actually plunged into the water off the coast of Sicily. And the ship and its contents were thought to be lost forever. But a young boy finds an egg, and this cute little reptilian alien comes out of it. And then they cage the alien. But for some reason, this alien's growing, you know, exponentially. Finally, it grows to 20 feet, breaks out of its structure. And then this classic scene where the Ymir attacks an elephant and is seen standing on the Roman Colosseum. Well, the creature was created by Ray Harryhausen. It's a stop-motion marvel to watch. It's like, remember when King Kong came out? And all the other things like the Skeleton Army and Jason the Argonauts. So it's the same type of animation. And if you get the opportunity, you should actually watch it again if you get the chance. I'm actually trying to find it to put it in Aftermath. They have an Aftermath.media because it would be a nice film to watch over the weekend. But, I mean, you'd watch it again for fun, but still, I often wondered how back in 1957, before the moonshot, even before the Russian Venera probe, someone thought that there could be life on Venus, or any life could come from Venus. And the answer, of course, you know, why did they think of this? I mean, sure, okay, you can say, well, it's just science fiction, Clyde. They use their imaginations and everything else, but, you know, it would be very difficult to just explain, you know, something coming from Venus with the atmosphere the way it is. And I remember there was a guy who called himself Valiant Thor back in the 1950s who said he was from Venus. And I kept thinking to myself, you know, I read that story and it just sounds like some science fiction story. And there have been movies about guys. There was a Patricia Neal movie it was a Venus film too. I can't remember the name, the title of it offhand. It's kind of like a low-budget version of The Day the Earth Stood Still, but it was kind of more, I don't know, kind of boring. But see, I know a lot about these movies, and so, you know, I try to, you know, I think It Conquered the World. Remember that movie? That was Beverly Garland and Peter Graves And in that movie, I think the creature, this cucumber-looking like creature, came from Venus. And there was another low budget, even lower budget than what Roger Corman did. They did this film called The Thing from Venus, I guess. So a few films out there that were about Venus. But, you know, there's another thing that I discovered as I was doing some research a couple days ago. I don't know if you know this or not, but again, life on Venus has, kind of an indirect connection to President Trump, and I'll tell you why. Well, you recall that after Nikola Tesla was found dead in his apartment in January 1943, actually in his hotel room in New York, representatives of the Office of Alien Properties, the U.S. government's Office of Alien Property, seized a few documents relating to Tesla's work, and it was at the height of the Cold War. Actually, no, it was the height of World War II, actually. It was at the height of World War II, and Tesla had claimed to have invented a powerful particle beam weapon known as the Death Ray that could have proved invaluable to the ongoing conflict, the war. So rather than risk Tesla's technology falling into the hands of America's enemies, the government actually came in and took possession of all the property and documents from his room, the New Yorker hotel that he was staying at. So what happened to Tesla's files from there, as well as what exactly was in those files, a lot of it was pretty much shrouded in mystery and pretty much ripe for conspiracy theories. There are a lot of conspiracy theories surrounding Nikola Tesla. But after years of answering questions about possible cover-ups and conspiracy and conspiracy theory, the FBI finally declassified some 250 pages of Tesla-related documents under the Freedom of Information Act in 2016. Now, the FBI followed with additional releases. The latest was in March of 2018, but even the publication of these documents, many questions still remain unanswered, and some of Tesla's files are still missing. So 3 weeks after Tesla died, you may remember that Donald Trump's uncle, John G. Trump, was an electrical engineer from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, and basically he went over the files and he was saying, well, I don't know if there's anything in here of significant value. Dr. John G. Trump, again, Trump's uncle, head of the research at MIT, and he worked in the high voltage research lab of MIT in 1949. Now, the scientists that worked and looked over these articles, I mean, of course, Uncle John, Donald Trump's uncle, he was the younger brother of Trump's father, Fred. I mean, he helped design X-ray machines that greatly helped cancer patients and worked on radar research for the Allies during World War II. And at the time, the FBI pointed to Dr. Trump's report as evidence that Tesla's vaunted death ray, the idea of the death ray particle beam weapon, didn't exist. At least that's what they say, outside of the rumors and speculation, of course. But in fact, the U.S. government itself was split in its response to Tesla's technology. The declassified files also revealed something else about Tesla. And this isn't a lie. This isn't made up. Believe it or not, the FBI's classified or declassified documents that were released revealed that Nikola Tesla, one of the most brilliant and prolific inventors known in our world, came from Venus. Basically, the documents that were released claimed that he was not of this planet, that he wasn't a resident of this planet, that he was from Venus. Tesla's scientific creations were considered 300 to 1,000 years ahead of their time. All his creations in his later years were subsequently classified as top secret by the FBI. And in that document, it's Nikola Tesla, part 3 of 3, the third of three declassified FBI reports about Tesla. 64 pages with some stuff redacted, of course, a lot of that stuff blotted out with black ink. But one paragraph states the following, and this is what's interesting, and I caught this. It says, quote, "The space people visited the Tesla engineers many times and informed us that Tesla was from Venus, brought to this planet as a baby, and was left with Mr. and Mrs. Tesla in a remote mountain province in 1856, is now what's called Yugoslavia." So the questions remain, why did Tesla come to Earth from Venus? I mean, why did beings from Venus contact Tesla so many times? And why did aliens reveal Tesla's true identity to the FBI? I mean, it's a bizarre statement from the FBI. And not only that, there were also reports that he used low radio frequencies to contact these Venusians and also had an invention that allegedly could be used to travel through time. So on May 17th, 1899, Tesla moved to Colorado Springs, where he would investigate atmospheric electricity, observed lightning signals via his receivers. Tesla stated that he observed stationary waves during this time. Now, great distances in the nature of what Tesla was directing from lightning storms confirmed his belief that the Earth had resonant frequency. So he produced artificial lightning with discharges consisting of millions of volts and up to 135 feet long. These bolts were huge. Thunder from these released energy that was heard 15 miles away in Cripple Creek, Colorado. But most importantly, while in Colorado Springs, Tesla intercepted strange radio signals that spread through the media incredibly fast. They were reporting this, that Tesla was in contact with planets outside our solar system, namely Venus. And Tesla observed unusual lights from his receiver. Tesla concluded that these signals might actually be signals that have originated somewhere in space. FBI files, again, that were revealed by Dr. John G. Trump, Uncle John, Donald Trump's uncle, stating that Nikola Tesla, the most renowned scientist of our time, was in fact from the planet Venus. Hard to believe, right? But it says so in the FBI documents already classified. 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back. I'm Clyde Lewis, and you've just listened to a segment of Ground Zero. In order to access the complete archive shows and podcasts, you must sign up on our secured server at aftermath.media. It's only $4.99 a month for the archive shows and podcasts. Or if you want access to the Ground Zero online library, which includes videos, audio clips, ebooks, documents, a social media platform, plus the archive shows and podcasts, it's $9.99 a month. Again, that's aftermath.media. That's aftermath.media. Thanks for supporting Ground Zero.